now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome to Bread of His Presence. Last week, you'll remember that we began to discuss the rabbinical art of allusion, where a rabbi would quote a verse from the Old Testament, and in doing so to an audience that most of the time had the larger body of text completely memorized, would call to their minds that wider context, the verses before or after. And it's in that wider context, often, that the audience would have received the full brunt force of the rabbi's point. You know, I recently explained it to my church like this. I said to them, you know, let's say that we as a church threw a kids event, and we planned on having roughly about 50 kids. But then suddenly, three school buses pull up, and out come 150 screaming kids. And one of us looks at the other and says, we're going to need a bigger boat. What's he or she alluding to? The movie Jaws, where they go out hunting for that killer shark and Marshall Brody is chumming the water, and the shark's head suddenly pops out, revealing that the shark is monumentally bigger than anything they could have ever imagined. And so he backs slowly into the cabin and says, we're going to need a bigger boat. Now, if you don't know the movie, then you're not going to understand that whole allusion of our needing a bigger boat. Another church member might say, I've got a bad feeling about this. Star Wars. Another might say, Houston, we've got a problem. Apollo 13. Yet another church member might say, there's no place like home. Wizard of Oz. One of our more timid members might say, I'll be back. Terminator. Halfway through the event, someone might offer this line, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. Finding Nemo. And afterwards, I might ask someone who looks overwhelmed, how are you? And they might say, shaken, not stirred. James Bond. You know, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of movie quotes that the average American is familiar with, whether they know it or not. Well, the ancient Jews also had movies, and those movies were actually the stories of their ancestors. And the rabbis would reference these stories constantly through what was then known as allusion, but what is today known as remez, quotes that would remind the listener or the reader of a wider context. And when we look at the Gospels, we find that Jesus did this all the time. Just a cursory examination of the cross references in your study Bible shows this to be the case. And last week we looked at some examples, and we're going to look at some more today. Here's a big one. Jesus is in the temple. Children are dancing all throughout the courts, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, how do the chief priests and teachers of the law react? Well, the text says they were indignant. And so they say to Jesus, and this is the plain English version, hey, tell those kids to shut up. But what does Jesus say? First of all, he asks a question, saying, have you never read, meaning the scriptures? And don't miss the humor in that, because these guys were men who knew the Old Testament beginning to end by memory, every single word. And here Jesus is saying, haven't you ever even read it? Hardly any insult could have been worse than that, except, perhaps, for the insult that Jesus gives next. Listen to this traumatizing blow that Jesus deals to them. Embrace yourself, I mean it, because it's rough. He says, have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? Wow, Whew! How insulting, don't you think? Well, no. It doesn't seem that insulting to us, because we don't know the context. Let me tell you, that utterance would have left them blood red. Because where does it come from? And what comes before and after? Since most of us don't have the Bible completely memorized yet, I don't know, maybe you do, that would be awesome. But in the meantime, we have to start getting in the habit of looking at our cross-references, which often tell you where Jesus is pulling this from. And then we need to look them up and read that passage in its surrounding context. You'll uncover some amazing stuff. You know, I'm training myself to do that in my own personal devotions, and I've picked up on my own some of the remezes that Jesus is using. And I'll read something that Jesus said, and sometimes I think, you know, I bet that's a remez. And sure enough, it turns out to be an Old Testament quotation. And the original context sheds light on the situation that Jesus is speaking to. Now, where does this quote come from? Psalm chapter 8, verse 2, which reads, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise, because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger." What is Jesus saying about these chief priests and teachers of the law? Well, first of all, he's saying just what the psalmist is saying, which is that the glory of God is so great, even little children are instinctively worshiping him. And those who don't offer praise are the enemies of God. And so what's Jesus saying about these chief priests and teachers of the law? He's saying, you are God's enemies, and these children are putting you to shame. For they are offering to me the praise that you should have, but are refusing to. How about this one? It's another allusion, but it's not in words. It's an allusion in action. Who did Malachi say would come to herald the coming of the Messiah? Elijah. He says in Malachi 4:5, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." And who does Jesus say that Elijah was? John the Baptist. He says, "If you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come." Now, when John came on the scene, it says in Luke 3:3, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, where is John baptizing? It tells us in John chapter 1, verses 28 to 29, this all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And it's here in Bethany that it then says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now, this is not Jesus' baptism, believe it or not, but he refers there to Jesus' baptism. And he's baptizing there in Bethany. Then he baptizes in another place. It says in John chapter 3, verse 23, "Now John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized." And this is the passage where they come to him, all concerned, because people are flocking to Jesus instead of to him. And he tells them that he himself is not the Messiah, and that the Messiah must become greater, but he, the friend of the bridegroom, must become less. And so he's baptizing at this place called Aenon, right near Bethshan, for those of you who have been there. And then Jesus' baptism likely happened near Jericho. Now the question is, why did John choose to baptize in those three places? Well, if you look at a map, you'll see that he was baptizing at the brook Kerit. In fact, he was baptizing right where the brook Kerit flows into the Sea of Galilee. Now, what had happened at the brook Kerit? I'm sure some of you know. What happened to Elijah at the brook Kerit? Remember, Elijah lived in a cave for 2 years and was fed by ravens. Remember that story? It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. So why do you think John is baptizing right there? He wants to say, I'm Elijah. Now we ask, well then why doesn't he just tell us? He does. He says it loudly and powerfully, just as a Jew would say it. He lets the text say it. You go where Elijah went, you wear exactly what Elijah wore, and you preach a message of repentance just like Elijah preached. And the people say, he's trying to say he's Elijah. Now, what happened at Jericho? Well, that's where Elijah called Elisha. It's where he divided the river with his tallit. Where he walked across, he put the tallit on Elisha. Where Elisha divided the river with a tallit, and then they walked back across. In 2 Kings 2:4. It's also likely the place where Elijah ascended into heaven. And so here also, John is baptizing in an Elijah place. He wants to say, I'm Elijah. But once again, if you want to understand, and John the Baptist seems to expect us to, then we have to know the word. Because it's only in saturating ourselves with the word of God that God can then use that word to change and mold us into the people that he designed us to be. And so it needs to become a part of us. You know, I love what Charles Spurgeon says on this. He writes, if other forms of knowledge are useful, they are like the planets. But the knowledge of God as revealed in Christ Jesus is as the sun. Let this always be the center of your system of knowledge, and let all the rest that you know move in subordination and subjection to that first and best form of knowledge. If you find a professing Christian indifferent to his Bible, you may be sure that the very dust upon its cover will rise up in judgment against him. My dear friends, I should like you so to read the Bible that everybody in the Bible should seem to be a friend of yours. I should like you to feel as if you had talked with Abraham and conversed with David. He says, I can truly say that there is hardly anybody in the world that I know so well as I know David. But do find your choicest friends in the scripture. Take the whole company of Bible saints home to your heart. Let them live inside your soul. Let old Noah come in with his ark if he likes. Let Daniel come in with his lion's den if he pleases. And all the rest of the godly men and women of the olden time, take them all into your very nature and be on familiar terms with them. But most of all, be specially intimate with him of whom they all speak, namely Jesus Christ, your blessed Lord and Master. What a great summation of what you and I are supposed to be and do. And so today, let us commit to more deeply know and walk in the light of God's word so that you and I might more fully know our Rabbi Jesus and walk just as he walked. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.